Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a beautiful morning.
Radio.itchy.game.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. That's one of them songs, Sam, that just when I hear it, it always reminds me of Saturday mornings growing up as a kid.
It take you back?
It takes me back, but it's Saturday. Like, there's songs that remind you of Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday, you know, different days of the week. That, to me, is the quintessential Saturday morning. Get on your bike right after breakfast and tell your mama you'll be back later on. And just start riding, going out and playing.
Yeah.
When you used to go out and play and you didn't have any cell phones, not that it was better, it's just it was different.
Yeah.
Okay, Garrett's growing up was it was perfect for him, maybe those folks of that age, but what we had to deal with and all that, for me, that song would be part of the soundtrack.
And the thing of it is, you out and play, but everybody knew their mom's voice. And if you heard her calling you, you could be down the block, round. You hear that voice, you like, and it stands out. You know what I mean? And you're like, yeah, I got to go, y'all. You know what I mean? You remember those Saturdays, you know, or Saturday mornings. And you got out of the house because the house was getting cleaned up. She's going to mop in the kitchen or something. You ain't going to come tracking on that kitchen if she mopped it.
Well,
you know what I mean? And so you gone. You out. You stay out.
See, you had a little different than me because chores were done before I could get out the house. So whatever I had to do, whether it was, you know, rake the leaves or whatever my chore was, I went out after I had to do that because there was no way.
It's something to do now.
Because if I didn't do that chore when I got back home, the first thing I was met with was the back of a hand.
Yep.
It usually was above the neck.
Yep.
So I didn't want to mess with that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we head into the 8 o'clock hour, say to you again, good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a big old bear hug to you folks in Doraville.
Doraville.
Beautiful people in Doraville.
That's the end of the line, the martyr line. That's where it ends, right there in wonderful Doraville.
Okay. Well, we're reaching out to them and saying hello, and I will save this for you. I will put this on your radar. I saw King Richard.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We will talk about that. Casting call, yeah.
And Will Smith and his performance, and I was pleasantly surprised.
Really?
Yeah. And we'll talk about that coming up. I didn't know what to expect.
Okay.
And I had to get used to that cadence and the way he spoke.
Right.
And if you don't know what Richard Williams sounds like, you need to go back and listen to some YouTube.
I know. I've interviewed him and been around Mr. Williams a number of occasions. So I know exactly what you.
Yeah.
So
you know, he's just,
I'll be listening for that inflection.
It's interesting, you know, and there's a lot of folks who saw the movie that didn't know what he talked about, and I'm not going to tell you anything more, but you guys have to see it. Anyway, college football, we started off the show talking about the games from yesterday and what we're going to be seeing moving forward. SEC championship, the teams are locked in. Alabama's coming to fix our potholes. Georgia should have no problems with Georgia Tech. Auburn and Alabama, they shouldn't, but there's a possibility of it. We heard Chris come on earlier and talk about the fact that Auburn has beat these boys
in Auburn, you know, kick six and all those
right.
things
yeah.
that have gone on down there at Auburn. So some odd things have happened in years. Alabama was supposed to win the game. It proposes to be the ultimate trap game for them, obviously. But you would think everybody would have their emotions and their focus in the proper place to go out and play this game next week. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I want to throw something out there as far as Georgia goes. You know, Stetson Bennett, you know, played for a while yesterday. I had an interception in the game yesterday. But still, he's been the steady guy. He's been the guy who's been leading this Georgia football team for all that JT Daniels is supposed to do or supposed to do for this team. He's supposed to be the guy that leads this team and gets them over the hump against Alabama. But it looks like we're going to see Stetson Bennett, you know, unless he has some type of injury against Georgia Tech, start this game against Alabama. And when I say start, I mean start it because, you know, like I said before, wouldn't it be something if we get to this game, Georgia against Alabama, and unlike Nick Saban several years ago, Kirby Smart has his best quarterback on the sideline next to him.
Yeah, you've been saying that a lot. You've been saying that. But my question is,
Kirby has his best quarterback next to him for that game. And you haven't seen him lately. So whatever film, whatever you see on him, is from back early in the season. Or whatever you've seen has been a limited sample size of him lately. So there's not a lot out there to go on as far as scouting him, recent scouting him. And so you leave him on the sideline and if things get sticky and you need to, you go to your most talented guy, then do you do that?
Well, my question to you was, and I don't know to answer your question, but my question for you is, if these guys are going to get past Alabama, SEC championship game, are they going to do it on the ground or are they going to do it on the arm of these two guys you're talking about?
They're going to do it. They're going to do it on the defense. The defense is going to do that. I think that's.
They going to put the points on the board?
The defense.
I'm talking about who's going to put the points on the board.
They might put some points on the board too.
Well, that's
because
true.
Bryce Young ain't seen a defense like this. But you know, he hasn't seen a defense like this, and I know he's been lighting things up, and he's been doing an incredible job. No slight on Bryce Young, and he did it again yesterday, an incredible job. But he got some pressure yesterday because Arkansas did come out and play a good game against them. We've seen three teams now, one that beat them in Texas A&M, but Florida, and that seemed like 2 years ago that Florida played Alabama. When you look at Florida now, that seemed like that game against Alabama was 2 years ago. But we've seen three teams show us some weaknesses with Alabama, some weaknesses with Alabama's defense and their secondary that you can do some things against them. So we've seen that, and I'm sure you know everybody at Georgia's got great notes on that type of thing. But I think it doesn't matter. I think Georgia right now is versatile. They don't lean on one thing, the run game, which traditionally they have, but they do well enough through the receiver with passing. And they're one or two receivers that haven't been healthy that might just be ready to come out and contribute some in that game. And that's something else that they haven't seen. They haven't scouted. There's no video of these guys, but they may be ready to come back and join the team just in time for that game. So that's something else that's out there you can think about too.
And a balanced attack we expect from a Georgia team. And, yes, the defense is what it is. Best in the country. My point for asking the question, and you did finally answer it, was, yes, you want to see a balance. But here's the chess match we know is going to occur because we have teacher and student again. And so far, teacher has continued to win. Jimbo's the only one that got passed.
Yep.
He's the only one that graduated. And so knowing what each other's – which each other do, knowing the strengths of each other's and the limits. This Alabama team isn't the juggernaut Kirby has faced in the past, but the point is the chess match that goes back and forth, and I was just curious to see if you thought that Georgia would have more success given what you've seen so far out of this offense and the back and forth with the various quarterbacks. You say he's going to have the best quarterback standing next to him. Absolutely right. But do you think that they use those arms more than they use the legs, the ground game?
Well, I think that's the thing about this Georgia team that makes it so dangerous that they don't lean on one thing offensively. Mm. You can't give your defense and say, well, we're going to go and shut down the run and see what they do to us. You stop the ground game, and they're still going to move. I don't know if you all of a sudden your secondary comes up playing a great game and does some great coverages, bottles up their receivers, and there's no one receiver either. And that's the other thing about Georgia. It's not just this one guy. You know, it's not the Pickens or just one person they're going to go to all the time for big plays. They spread it around. And so it keeps everybody honest. To me, that's a big headache for Alabama's defense to think about. You're going up against a team that when they throw, they can throw it just about anywhere, and they're going to get some a positive result. And not all game breakers like Alabama's guys. Alabama's got those game breakers, you know, as far as it goes. But like you said, they're facing a Georgia defense that's going to, you know, going to consume some of that. So I'm looking forward to the matchup. I know it's still out there, and that both teams got a game to play before they get there. But now, after Alabama's win yesterday, we know that it will be the matchup that we've talked about since way before the season started. Mm-hmm. It will be Georgia and Alabama here in town.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to switch gears and talk basketball coming up next with Terrell Thompson. I got a casting call later on in the 8 o'clock hour. But my question, or just the thoughts that have been going through my head, what were we watching that Oregon and Michigan State were doing that we didn't see them just kind of wet in the bed yesterday? And were we, was it all smoke and mirrors? I mean, last year we didn't even mention the Pac-12, any of those teams, right? They weren't even considered to be a part of the playoffs. And this year we had some teams ascend, and of course Oregon has been there the whole time, and they get that win against Ohio State. But the way they got handled yesterday by Utah.
I was watching that game. I was like, who are these guys in these gray uniforms? I'm used to seeing some red with Utah. And they came out with these. Are they playing Air Force? Who is that, you know?
Like, I can figure out the Michigan State thing. Michigan State is much like what we're talking about with Auburn and Alabama or Georgia, Georgia Tech. That's their rival. Okay, so Michigan State doesn't have an Ohio State, say, at the end of their season.
Yeah,
so
but you would think they still would have gotten off the bus yesterday. They didn't. They didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
They didn't get off the bus, man.
Yeah, they left everything. They left everything at home against Michigan. They left everything there. Now, listen. My thought is, as we've played this out earlier in the show, we were talking about, we all agree that Cincinnati, they continue doing what they're doing. They deserve to be one of the playoff teams, correct?
Yep.
If they go and just do something that nobody expects and they become that true Cinderella this year, has there been a bigger upset in college football recently or in our lifetime where a team you just didn't expect? I'm not talking, well, I hate to go back to the times when they used to just vote for the national champion and say, oh, this team gets it or that team gets it. But, I mean, where would this land as far as the all-time surprising victories and championships?
You mean as far as Cincinnati?
Cincinnati wins it all.
Well, I mean, if Cincinnati gets in and wins the semifinal game, let's get to the semifinal game first if they make it to the championship game. If they do that, I mean, that speaks volumes for that program and what they're capable of doing. We saw them here in Atlanta last year give Georgia all they wanted in the Peach Bowl. So they're legit. They are for real, you know. But the thing of it is getting them in that arena in that Final Four and getting them in that matchup and who they might draw. Might they draw Georgia again? Might they draw, if Alabama still goes, who would they draw? But it looks like they are on track to be one of those four teams.
Rest in peace, Harold Ramis. The new Ghostbusters movie is out in Afterlife, but they're always, you know, we're revisiting the old one. And a lot of Bill Murray and a lot of Dan Aykroyd, obviously so. But the guy who wrote the movie is long gone, and today would have been his birthday. Harold Ramis, the cerebral Ghostbuster, mm-hmm. if you will. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coming up next, we're going to talk basketball. Terrell Thomas from These Urban Times joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, my hair's just bobbing back and forth. Got that Bill Withers going on a Sunday morning.
When I wake up in the morning, love.
Yeah. There you go.
And the sunlight hurts my eyes.
I don't know about the sunlight. Seeing a lot of clouds. Right now it's overcast. But it still is a lovely day.
It is a lovely day.
It is Thanksgiving week. It is Thanksgiving week. And
messing with the leaves and getting out there, man.
I got to do some of that.
Don't mess with it now. They're not off the trees.
No, man, but most of mine are down. I don't have that excuse. Most of mine are down now.
I have an actual serious problem.
What's that?
But we don't have time because we got Terrell here.
Okay, go ahead.
But I got a new leaf blower and been doing it. working in the backyard, and my fuse keeps popping.
The fuse on the leaf blower.
No, the fuse in the house.
Okay.
Like, I'm overcharged. We'll save it. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
Terrell Thomas, These Urban Times, a friend of the show, and man, we will be leaning on you and getting your expertise from now till June. So keep your Sundays open. In fact, keep your Thursdays and Fridays this week open, too, because we're checking back with you. Anyway, Terrell, good morning, and happy Thanksgiving.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to be with you guys this morning.
Great to have you.
I want to ask you a question right off the top. This is not Hawks question. It's leading to something else. What kind of defender would you call Kevin Durant? What kind of on a scale of 1 to 10, what kind of defender would you call Kevin Durant?
I would give him about a 7. I think he has the potential to be an all-world defender when he wants to be. To throw that out there. But I think on most nights, he doesn't rely on his defense too much. So I would give him a 7. But, again, I believe he can defend the rim. He can defend 1 through 5. So I think he could be an elite defender, but I would have to give him a 7 overall.
Okay, passing ability.
Oh, man, passing ability, about a 7. About a 7.
My reason for asking is this. When we were crowning LeBron James as the best player in the NBA, he was at the top of his game in each one of those categories I talked to you about. Defending, passing, and we knew what his scoring was like. As we sit here now on November 21st of 2021, across the board, you're hearing Kevin Durant, the best basketball player, as opposed to the best scorer in the NBA. Is the title justified, best basketball player, or should we just be calling him, he's the best scorer in the NBA? And I realize it's semantics, but it means something when there's a guy who works on his total game.
Well, I do think overall he is the best player in the NBA today. If we had to select a best scorer, I would probably go with Steph Curry. I don't think defense is enforced as much as it has been in the past. You did hit it on the head. When guys were saying LeBron was the best in the world, he was definitely the best defender, the best scorer, the best rebounder. You know, he was elite in all those categories, but Durant, I would say overall, is the best defender, because I think he's at the top of the game in everything. He can compete with Steph Curry in scoring because he can score in more diverse ways than Curry can.
But he can't defend like Giannis.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say right outside of Giannis, I think Giannis is for sure the best defender in the NBA without a doubt. But I think Durant is right up there skill wise. We just don't see it on a night to night basis.
Yep. Folks, we're spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Terrell Thomas. He is social. You can find him on. Why are you laughing?
Hey, Terrell, man? You should have been here earlier, man. The dude was trying to sing. Then his voice cracked up. He was doing an owl. He was singing.
I was tuned in. I heard the owl hoot.
Yeah, it's been a 2-drink minimum show with Sam today.
No, man. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at Eldorado2452 at Eldorado. 2452. Being back home is good. What has made the difference with the Hawks being back home? Is it, you know, being back home, the home court, the crowd being out a little bit closer to the lemon pepper wings? What is it has this team doing so well at home?
You know, I recall the last time we spoke when I was on the show, Sam McGregor, you were speaking about home cooking. When the Hawks were on the road and things weren't looking too well for our guys, you were saying, you know, when they get back home, and they can get some home cooking, things may be well. And I think that's exactly what it was. I think that, again, you know, the season, the way the season ended for the Hawks last year, with things jumping this year, with so many expectations, the Hawks guys were excited. You know, they were still carrying the momentum for the playoffs. So I don't think they realized that they're no longer, you know, as we were saying, they're no longer hunting. They're now the hunted. And I think on that West Coast trip, and I really think that game where Steph Curry exploded for 50 points, they realized, like, okay, guys, you know, if we're going to really be elite, we have to perform on a night-to-night basis. So coming back home, being around the home fans, I think has been great. The schedule has played in their favor as well with the competition that they're playing. So I think it's been a mix of being back home, finally beginning to get into a rhythm, and then the teams they're playing, quite honestly, just not being able to compete with them.
That's nice. I mean, of course, they come back home and they start with Milwaukee. That's been over a week now, but it was great to see them, you know, come up and win that game over Milwaukee at home. The thing I think makes a difference is what we saw last night. You had six guys in double figures, but you got that Clint Capela double-double. And to me,
yes.
Last spring when they were headed into the playoffs, he got on this roll of a double-double in all those games. And to me, that was one of the single things that makes a big difference when this team puts together a string of wins.
I think, you know, the question in which Sam started off, Greg started off talking about who's the best player in the NBA. I think Clint Capela, you know, really does not get the credit he deserves. It's possibly being, I would give him at least a top three big man in the NBA for what a big man is required to do. He's efficient around the rim. He's a great defender around the rim, and he's a great rebounder. I mean, those are the three key things you want your center to do. When Clint does get the ball rolling, as you mentioned, those double-doubles are so effective because it just allows – it opens up the paint and the floaters for Trae Young. It opens up the floor for our shooters. So I think that's an amazing point. When Clint gets to going, our Hawks are a dangerous team.
This might be a bit harsh, but, you know, I don't know other way to put it. Who are we waiting for to become who we have seen them in the past be? Who is on this team that's not that person who we know they can be yet? And that will be one of the things that helps propel this team to the top of the, you know, top of the division and eventually the conference and even further.
I honestly think it's two gentlemen that are hurt right now for us, with DeAndre Hunter and then Big O. Having those two gentlemen out of the lineup, we've seen what Big O was able to do coming in as a second big man. You know, in his rookie season, he was extremely productive. We saw the chemistry in which him and Lou Williams were beginning to form. And how he kind of changed the game, I say, when he's in versus Clint. Clint, I would say, is a little more mobile. I mean, ill-mobile, even though he's a great rim runner. He's just not as athletic as we've seen Big O. And then DeAndre Hunter. I really feel like our Hawks are missing a second elite scorer. And I think that's, or I thought rather, that that's what Hunter was going to be this season. And unfortunately, the young man just keeps suffering, you know, these injuries that are keeping him out for long stretches of time. So I think one of those two. So hopefully after the Christmas break, we'll really be able to see our Hawks and the team we want them to be. But I think we're waiting for one of those guys to be the gentleman that we're looking for.
Got a road trip coming up here, you know, this week. And thoughts about the teams they're going to face and the challenges they're going to face in these stops. We all want to be home for the holidays. These guys are hitting the road. They're going to be gone this week.
Yeah, I do think, however, with them just recently coming off of a road trip, I think that's going to be extremely beneficial for them. And having this long, extended amount of time, you know, there will be some tough games for sure. But I believe that the Hawks, that Warriors game, I think, changed a whole lot for the Hawks. I really truly believe that the Warriors game changed a whole lot for the Hawks. So going up against the likes of San Antonio, going to Memphis, two phenomenal teams. They have great coaching, and we'll see Ja Morant out there. But I think the Hawks,
that's my boy,
faced it. I think the test that they went through during their last road trip will really set them up for the remainder of the season. And I believe these next few games should be easy. It's NBA players, I get it, but they should be easy for our Hawks.
You know what? And that's kind of ironic because it was a West Coast road trip that kind of got them cranked, got them all crunk and going. I think it was February, they had that Western. They went out west with last season, and they went out there and got rolling, right?
Right before the All Star break, they got rolling. Maybe it's something about that California sun that really gets our guys going. But it came at a great time, I believe. I truly believe the way that our Hawks were slumping and falling, although the season was early. You know, I hate using this term so early. If the playoffs started today, unfortunately, our Hawks are in 11th place.
Yeah, they ain't in there.
So they do need to get the ball rolling. They need to continue on a series of winning streaks. And with them winning four in a row so far at home, I think they'll be able to carry that momentum. Again, two teams in San Antonio and Memphis who have some potential, but they're not elite teams, you know, no disrespect to them. So I think our Hawks should have a pretty easy time with those two teams. It's not too far. They're not going too far. You know, they're not going all the way back to Denver or L.A. Not too far of a trip, so it should be a lot easier for our guys.
Ja Morant, the Lamar Jackson of the NBA. Yeah. You like that one?
I like that.
That's
all right. I love that.
I want some t-shirts next week. Listen, I'm enjoying the fact that, I mean, you mentioned the Hawks sitting out of play. If the playoffs were to start now, yeah, the Hawks are sitting out here along with a team who won it all, Toronto, a couple years ago. But what do you think of the success of the Bulls right now? What do you think of the success of the Wizards right now? What do you think of the success of the Hornets right now? Yeah, it's early, but the people are talking about the sustainability of the Bulls. I don't know about Charlotte and Washington, so I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
Washington has been the biggest surprise, if I'm all the way honest. I thought last year, of course, we see Charlotte pretty often. They face our Hawks pretty often. I thought last year I was beginning to see a trend change with the Hawks. With the Hornets. Maybe, I don't know if it's the addition of LaMelo Ball, but it seems like the energy and the effort from the Hornets is a lot different. And the chemistry between Ball and Bridges, I think, could propel the Hornets to stay efficient and stay in the playoff race. Washington, I don't know, but it's one of those things, you know, we watched a Detroit team years ago, and although they had the likes of Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton, a lot of people said they had no true superstar team, but they played so well together.
Right.
This Washington team, granted, they don't have the defensive scheme or defensive mindset that Pistons team had, but these guys just seem to fit together. they really seem to play well together. So they've been the biggest surprise to me. Chicago hasn't surprised me at all. I actually was just having a talk with some of our peers and things like that during the off season when Chicago was making all their big moves, and I predicted that they would be a fourth or a fifth seed. They have a phenomenal coach and Billy Donovan. And they've had some young talent, some young draft picks over the years, and we see those things kind of turn. They have a gentleman in Kobe White who really hasn't even been getting a lot of time as of recently, who's a phenomenal talent in Chicago. So I definitely think with everything DeRozan is doing, with the combination of DeRozan and LaVine, I think they are going to be a dangerous team as the season continues to progress and they continue to get chemistry and learn how to play together. But Washington has by far surprised me the most. I think the Hornets, again, and the Wizards can stay in that playoff conversation, I think that the Hornets can stay in that conversation, but the Wizards, they have definitely surprised me.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to you very, very soon, probably before the end of this week, Terrell, so we appreciate you getting up. And before you leave here, two of the greatest names in NBA history celebrating a birthday today, Sam.
Who's that?
Earl the Pearl Monroe.
Oh, yeah, now.
And Cornbread Maxwell.
Cedric.
I know, but it was Cornbread.
Cornbread. But both played their college ball in North Carolina. Yeah. One at UNC Charlotte, or Charlotte as they call themselves. Another one, Earl at Winston-Salem State.
Hey, yeah. Terrell, have you been up to Chicago Stadium, United Center?
No, sir.
Never have?
That's one still on my bucket list. No, sir.
Well, it's too bad because when you go up there now, the Michael Jordan statue is actually inside.
Yeah, too bad for me when I was out
really?
There working one time. I stood on the outside and froze to death next to that
thing.
That
is the only statue I've ever seen move. They put it up. It was first outside, now it's inside. And they didn't move the statue. They just extended the building. That's how much money this dude makes for that team. You just put them up there, and they just printing money. Anyway, listen, Terrell, again, thank you. Have a happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving, man, you and your family.
Same, gentlemen, same. I look forward to speaking to you again. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a phenomenal week.
All right.
Well, that's Terrell Thomas, These Urban Times, joining us. Got a casting call. Let you know about some jobs during this holiday season. What do we call it, Sam? Holiday money.
Holiday money.
Got a chance for you to grab some of it. Up next, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you on the Odyssey app. It's Sam and Greg. And this is the time I let you know about some of the jobs going on as far as film and TV projects in the city. Played that one, though, because I had told Sam earlier that I had seen King Richard.
Yes.
Starring Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pleasantly surprised. Here's the thing. This dude has done two biographies.
Mm-hmm.
One, and I don't know you know, why he said, yes, this is one of those things where there are certain people that we know who you got to have a massive ego to feel like you can pull that off and be believable in it for the masses.
Right.
I don't know how everybody feels about Ali. I mean, there were parts of it where, you know, the acting part of it and everything, that was, you know, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad. It just, you know, Ali is, he's special. And it's one of those where you don't want to take it on.
Right,
because he is who he is.
But you admire him for doing that. I admire him for having the courage to take on this, an iconic figure that people have so many memories of, and someone who is just worldwide revered, and to take on the mannerisms.
And the thing is,
that's the thing.
It's one thing if he was just doing the athletic part of Ali.
Right.
He did them both. All right. And you can say what you will about how believable he looked, you know, as a boxer, but he took that one on, and that one was kind of like, and we all across the board knew who he was trying to portray. That wasn't the case with this. If you don't follow tennis, you don't know about Richard Williams. You may have heard his name from time to time, only because Serena and Venus have been in the spotlight the way they have, and they mention their father, but you don't get long, extended versions of Richard Williams to the masses like Ali. And he took this character on, and I do follow tennis, and I do know who Richard Williams is. You've interviewed the guy.
Yes.
I was curious to see the portrayal, and I will tell you, if you go see this, you will, even if you don't know who he is, it was compelling.
Okay.
It really was, because it kept me there. There were some things I didn't know. You know, I know them from their public life, meaning Serena and Venus.
Right.
But the family was prominent in this, because it was about the head, you know, the father.
Right.
And
so it was about more than just the tennis.
That was the backdrop. It was about this dude and what he went through to make them the champions they are. So knowing that was,
and I always tell people, don't try this at home. A lot of people want to try to do what he did, right?
No, you do not.
No, I said, don't try this at home.
No,
you know what I mean? That was a fit for that situation.
Yeah, yeah. And they drew some comparisons to other parents who raised, you know, champions, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to choose my words so I don't give anything away. But anyway, it was really good.
But phenoms, how do you have these young prodigies and or phenoms and guide them so that it turns out the way that his turned out? Because not all do.
No, they do not.
Yeah.
No, they do not. But, you know, like I said, his portrayal, and again, every once in a while you get a little Will Smith. So that's what made, I mean, there was this dude, Richard Williams, was a serious dude.
Mm-hmm.
He is a serious dude, but the movie wasn't all serious, because he raised five girls, and them five girls only, well, for the most part, just had themselves. And you know, tight-knit families, when you got big families like that, the kids tend to make their own, you know, they're their best friends, and they have their own types of humor. And of course, he was a girl dad. That was all part of it too. It went from interesting to compelling for me. And something that I would dial up again and watch. And it's on HBO Max right now. And again, I just want to, you know, I let you know, because I know that you're a big fan of it.
Yep.
You, Mr. Crenshaw, will like it.
Outstanding.
I won't say love it, but you will definitely like it, and you will be riveted watching it. It was a great portrayal. Now, I was sitting there thinking the whole time, too, is this guy going to get himself an Oscar nod for this? An Academy Award nod for this? I couldn't say no.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's definite, but I could not say no, because that character, that person, you have to, much like Ali, stay in character and believable for the entirety of that movie.
Or like, what's her nudge who did the Queen? Helen Mirren.
Oh, Helen Mirren, yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, you had to be like, to me, I would never look at her the same. She was always going to be Queen Elizabeth. To me, right, you know, okay, because she nailed it just to me,
right,
and playing that role. And that's somebody that everybody has seen. Everybody's seen
absolutely,
and they all wonder what she got in that purse.
You know,
but
that's just you. Sam Crenshaw's been wondering ever since I know him. What does the Queen carry in her purse? Yeah, She got some Tic Tacs in there, maybe some.
Ain't got no money in there.
She ain't got no. She don't need no money, but she got some Tic Tacs. She got to go, you know, to have people talk to her. She want fresh breath, right? Maybe a little, you know.
I'm just asking. What Queen Elizabeth always got that purse on? What the heck she got in that thing? Go ahead, man. Kids casting call.
Buick car keys in there. listen, 929thegame.com/castingcall is where you will see the list of job opportunities. Now, normally, I would in the past, I shut this thing down during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Remember, we just wouldn't do it because everything would shut down.
Right.
But not when you got 159 counties that are camera ready and studios that are continuing to be built around this city. So there are some jobs out there, but not a lot. So this is going to be kind of a watered down version of the casting call, because there have been a lot of productions that wrapped up. A lot of the casting directors have left town with their families. Okay. But there are some jobs that are still there that are still going to shoot. Hilton Casting doing two projects, Staircase over on HBO Max, and they're doing P-Valley. It's continuing to play out. And Staircase needs young girls to be photo doubles. Now, whether you're a double or a stand-in, that's different than extra work. You get paid a little bit more. And they need girls from 4 to 10 years old, Caucasian girls, 4 to 10 years old, to be photo doubles for some of the principals in this particular project. So you'll see that up on Hilton Casting. You'll also see from Cab Casting doing Naomi. This is a DC Comics CW series. They got a big old futuristic rave club party going on. They need club goers. But it's futuristic, kind of different. So they're looking for folks, as you submit your pictures, with kind of, as they put it, funky, colorful, futuristic looks. All right? Remember, it's a rave. So
futuristic look?
It's kind of like, you know, futuristic. Okay. That says it all.
If you say so.
I'm about to say something stupid, but I'm not doing it. Because futuristic could be whatever you think the future is going to look like. So it would obviously be eclectic and things like that. Listen, Extras Casting Atlanta still looking for those of you for a couple projects they have. You'll see that up there. Destination Casting still doing Terror Lake. I think this is a good time, though, to start to check and see what's going on behind the camera. And I walk you through how to find those jobs at Georgia.org. Also get that certificate for the minor from Georgia Department of Labor. But, Sam, as we have mentioned,
yes,
what we're doing, talking about right now, what I'm talking about getting these jobs is holiday money.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to spend money for others during these holiday seasons, I have mentioned this just as a, you know, off the beaten path, voiceover lesson, voiceover class, a workshop acting class, getting a teacher to give a couple one-on-one acting classes. And by the way, you don't have to go to some place, an actual building, to have these classes. A lot of them are being done online. But you still have to pay for them. And again, that's a nice kind of Christmas present for that person in your family or somebody, friend of yours, who's considered getting into this industry.
It's a different kind of stocking stuff.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
So I introduce you to Bill Seller and Atlanta Voiceover Studio, a couple places that take you from soup to nuts as far as what you need as far as voiceover work. Maybe you're already in it. You just need to update your demo. Maybe you just need to find out what equipment that you need to build it at home, and it's not that expensive. So, again, and I also have the list of the casting directors there, so if you want to, once again, find out what's going on, you have any ideas, and it's not addressed here, greg.clarkson@odyssey.com. You give me a shout. The list, by the way, is up right now on Twitter, @GetCastWithGreg. And listen, it's a lull, but it's also an opportunity right now for you to see what's going on in the industry.
And get in where you fit in.
Exactly.
Because it could be a talent or a gift or something that you use, like I say, floral arrangements, a carpenter, or people who are in cosmetology. And you sent me something this week. You ran into an old cohort of mine from 11 Alive days.
He was
taking good care of you, right?
Yes, he was.
Tyrone Bachman. Shout out to Tyrone Bachman. He's worked with us at 11 Alive, but also was a barber. And I didn't know he was doing that, man. You know, hey.
You know, I keep my head clean, right? I keep it, for the most part, clean. But leading up to, I shot a scene for the TV show Queens this past week. And it's one of the first ones I've done in a while because I've been off the grid throughout spring and summer dealing with, you know, pops down in Florida. And so when I came back, I made sure I updated my demo and updated my pictures and so on and so forth. So I went on a couple. Man, I told you, they tried to send me to New Orleans.
Yeah,
I love my. I ain't gonna say nothing
about
the person who gave it to me, but they obviously haven't seen Greg in a while. but they I got it. Well, I shouldn't say that because I got a role for something that there was no way I should have got it because on right there in the beginning they were looking for somebody Caucasian.
Yeah.
Right? And yet you go in and sometimes you just don't care and you just ham it up and you go over the top and they like you and they bring you back. But somebody asked me to audition for a role to be James Brown.
Yeah. Oh.
And I was like, no, I'm not even, no, because it would be embarrassing for both of us, you know, and it wasn't singing. It was, there's a project being done right now. I'll tell you about it without mentioning its name, but it's being filmed in New Orleans and it's about Mike Tyson's time behind bars and the people who came and visited him during that time.
Okay.
And we'll leave it at that. And so one of the people we know went and visited him along, well, was James Brown.
Okay.
Minister Farrakhan was one of them.
Okay.
I got that audition.
Okay. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Didn't work.
Wow.
I'm just saying, I know my limits.
You know what, though? To your credit, the phone rings.
Well.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Phone don't ring for everybody.
Yeah, well, I put them toward the person I thought that should be getting it, but I'm one of many. I'm in a stable of people who get certain auditions, certain roles, okay? So anyway, that happened this past week, but I got there to the set. I had a 6 a.m. call in there about 5:30 or so, but your boy was there at 3:30 in the morning, and he's just the barber. He was the barber. They got a whole hair care staff.
Yeah.
And he was the actual barber. We got to talk. He sat down and, you know, he was asking me my role and this and that. And I told him what I do. And he goes, yeah, I know somebody in radio, Sam Crenshaw. And I was like, well, that's my partner. And he's like, what? And then we got to talking and he started telling me about working with you at 11 Alive.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
And you sent me a message by phone and said, man, I can't get away from you.
Yeah,
I can't get everywhere I go. Somebody.
I was in the chair wearing a cape. I will tell you this.
Yeah.
I saw this firsthand for the first time since I've been doing this. I've never seen this before, but we have all heard about this. And that's when you get a couple or female male actor talking about a love scene in a movie. And the person who's interviewing them said, oh, it must have been, you know, great kissing and hugging this particular actor, or this particular actress. And they always say, well, it's not really romantic on the set. And they talk about the people that are all standing around. Well, I got that firsthand. I'd never seen this before. And it was really interesting. The two actors had to have a romantic. They got physical. Let's just leave it at that. In the scene. But there was, I counted when it started, I was like, oh, they got to rehearse this. And that thought popped right back into my head.
Yeah.
Because I'd always heard it, but I'd never seen it. So the first thing, you know what I did? I counted the people on set that were standing right behind us, right off camera. And there was at least 40 people there.
Whoa.
40. Okay. And there
let's
was no
be romantic.
There was exactly. And then you had to do it. And then didn't do it right. Oh, you didn't, you were supposed to pull back now. Let's do it again. And they must have did that thing about 10 times before they got it to where they were comfortable with it. And
wow.
It was, like I said, a process that was very interesting to watch. Anyway, Greg.Clarkson, Odyssey.com. If you got any questions, and be sure to check out the list on 929thegame.com/casting call. I'll be on with Ramona this Tuesday on V103.
Hey, Ramona.
Always says
hey, Ramona.
Hello to
Hi.
You.
Hi.
And for the rest of you, we're hitting the 9 o'clock hour, which means we're going to talk football.
We got another hour.
I know, man. We got
another hour.
NFL coming up next.
Yes.
And Joe Patrick is going to talk about Atlanta United. Got a big day today. And, of course, we will talk about today's matchups. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, also in the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.